But then, you'd better be the best at what you do, or you're just an asshole. Can you back it up, or are you just posing? Cleaner Law. The same guy who is worshipped as a cutthroat competitor is also the guy most likely to be called an asshole by everyone around him. And not just any asshole, but the asshole. I'll tell someone he's the biggest asshole I've ever known, and right away he points to another guy and says, "He's a bigger asshole." No, he's not. And you didn't get it. I was giving you a compliment. Take it as a sign that you're doing something right, because if you're truly focused on winning, you're not concerned with friendship or compassion or loyalty. You're not worried about how others will judge you. You know what people say about you, and it just drives you harder. Let them hate you. It only shows their weakness and emotion and makes you more powerful. You don't need friends. Your friends need you. You know whom you can trust, and they'd better never let you down. When you're a cleaner, you trust very few people, and those you trust better never let you down. Coolers are afraid of the truth because they can't deal with it. Closers dig for the truth and get upset when it's not in their favor. But cleaners know when you're lying and wait for the truth to show itself. Knowing whatever it is, they'll handle it. A few years ago, I was working with a star who had one of the most legendary entourages in the history of bottle service. A solid entourage is a thing to behold. Basically, you have a bunch of unskilled, untrained, generally inexperienced losers from the old neighborhood or some other unknown origin, guys who showed up to a party and never left, all swarming around hoping for a stray piece of ass or a free drink. Then those losers bring around other losers just to show they know how to party for free. Always free, because none of these bums have a dime in their pockets. My guys know to never bring the entourage around me because I'll go up to them and say, "Explain to me why you're hanging around here for the next 6 hours while we're working out. Go read a book. Get the car washed. Pick up the cleaning. Just get out of here. You serve no purpose." And technically, I guess that's false because they do serve two purposes. Telling a superstar how great he is and acting as PhDs, which stands for Professional Holders of Dicks. One day I'm going to make PhD t-shirts, congratulate these guys on their accomplishment, and hand them out. Those guys will wear anything they get for free. Until the superstar gets hurt, needs surgery, has to spend a few months rehabbing, and the entire crew slithers off into the night in search of someone new to bankroll the party. That's what happened to this guy. One day he's surrounded by an entourage of grateful dickholders. The next day, he's just got me and an ice bath. No posse. No one kissing his ass. No one to tell him he's the man. For someone accustomed to calling the shots and having everyone do things his way, it's not easy to give up that kind of control. He's used to telling the team trainers what he will and won't do, and now he's reduced to trusting me to make those decisions for him. Big-name players can get away with that when they're dealing with team personnel, because they know they're messing with employees who don't want to jeopardize their jobs and usually have zero leverage to make players do something they don't want to do. I hear it from team trainers all the time. "We tried to do it your way, but he won't do it." No, you couldn't get him to do it. If a guy wants to try that with me, we won't be working together for long. You can screw up your own reputation. You're not going to screw up mine. Our relationship has to be based on trust, or we can't get anywhere. I have a strict protocol for rehabbing specific injuries, and it works. You come to me with complete trust, you follow the rules, or you're wasting your time and mine. And the rules say you don't play until I know you're ready to play, and I'll make that decision based on my experience, not based on your ego or anxiety about getting back in the game. This player, however, thought he knew better because everyone had always told him he knew better. He did a week of rehab, hobbled onto my basketball court, and declared himself ready to play. "I know my body," he announced. "I'm healthy. I'm playing."
"Oh, really?"
"Listen," I told him. "If you want this to work, you're not getting on a basketball court for another 3 weeks. You're going to work out with the weights and the underwater treadmill and everything else we can throw at you until we know you're ready, and then we'll slowly get you back on the court. But I told you the plan when we started, and we're not going to deviate from the plan." "Man, you can't keep me from playing," he said.
"You feel that strongly about it?"
"Yeah, that's how strong I feel." For a moment, we just glare at each other. Look, some of these guys are a foot taller than I am. They could toss me across the court. But if you do that, you better make sure I'm dead, because I'm going to get back up and deal with you in ways you cannot begin to comprehend. "Fine," I said. "Today is your last day here. I can't fix you. I ask 3 things of anyone who walks in my door. Show up, work hard, and listen. If you can't give me all of those 3 things, I can't help you. You're throwing your money away, paying me for a job I can't do." And I left him, standing alone, with a ball in his hand. Believe me, I get it. All the media is on your case trying to find out how you're doing. The team is in damage control mode, the agent is sweating, your family is flipping out, the sponsors want you across the world by the end of the month, you're making payments on 5 houses and 7 cars. Everyone wants to know that the gravy train is still running. That's a lot of pressure. But I'm still going to make you deal with the truth. I didn't see him the rest of the day. That night he called. "Okay, let's do it." And from that point, there wasn't one day that he didn't show up, work hard, and listen. That's a champion recognizing whom he needed to trust, realizing he didn't have all the answers, and knowing what was at stake if he pretended he did. In the world of cleaners, if you can't be trusted, you're gone. A cleaner can count on few people, and if you're one of them, it means you've earned it. If you're not, watch your back. A cleaner never forgives or forgets. But I have to be honest. You should watch your back anyway, because while you can trust a cleaner to finish the job, if his next job requires him to take you down, you're going down. I never said a cleaner was a model citizen. I said he gets results by any means possible. If that makes him a bad guy in your eyes, he can live with that. He doesn't care. You don't have to like him. You just have to trust him to finish what he started. If you're already a cleaner, you're probably thinking to yourself, "Trust? Advice? I don't trust anyone, and I don't want any advice." But stay with me here. You need this. And if you're not yet a cleaner, you need this too. We talked earlier about trusting your instincts to make decisions, and a big part of that is knowing whom you can trust, or whether you can trust anyone at all. Because no matter who you are, part of success means recognizing the people who can help you get where you want to go, putting all the best pieces in place. You have to surround yourself with people who can operate at your level of demanding excellence. You can't be unstoppable, or even great, if you can't do that. And it's probably the hardest thing for a cleaner to do. If you're a cleaner, you already know that when people say it's lonely at the top, they're talking about you. When you've worked so hard and so long to master your craft, learning every detail and nuance of how to do it better than anyone else, inventing and reinventing new ways to set the standard of excellence for yourself and others, who can possibly give you advice on how to still improve? Who's out there to tell you more than you already know? How many people can relate to what you've done and what you still want to do? To cleaners, trusting others is the same as giving up control. and they usually have a painfully hard time with that. Cleaners have this in common. At some point, they learn they could only trust themselves. Maybe it was a lesson they learned in childhood, or from something that happened later in life, but it forced them to rely on the sheer power of their gut instinct, and they realized that to survive and succeed, they could never take their hands off the wheel. Once you let someone else drive, they're in control of where you go and how you get there. A cleaner doesn't sit in the passenger seat unless he's 100% confident he can trust the driver. And one thing he knows for sure is that there are a lot of bad drivers out there. But trust doesn't have to mean giving up control or allowing other people to make decisions for you. Michael was insistent on handling his own responsibilities. He didn't wait for a security guy, or a driver, or a stylist, or a ticket manager to take care of things. He took care of things himself. I'm always amazed to see superstars who can't do anything on their own. They hand over all of their responsibilities to others, and then they're surprised when they don't get the results they wanted. It's still your responsibility to surround yourself with excellent people and keep those people accountable, which is especially challenging when you're extremely successful. Everyone wants to be part of the action. You have to be careful about whom you choose to keep close and who needs to find a different day job. A cleaner never just hands over responsibility and says, "Here, do this." Too much risk. He'll test you first, maybe for 15 minutes or 15 years, whatever it takes, watching how you respond, observing how you work, how you carry yourself, deciding whether your motives and methods are up to his standards. He might not have any need for you now, but when he does, he wants to know whom he can snap into place, and if you've proven yourself, you'll get the call. If not, you're a ghost. A cleaner views people as if they're tools, each with unique, indispensable qualities. A hammer can destroy, or it can build. A knife in the wrong hands can kill you, but in a doctor's hands, it can heal you. A wrench doesn't do the job of a drill. It only does what a wrench is supposed to do. You're only as good as the tools you've chosen, and your ability to use them to their maximum potential. That's a cleaner's talent, gathering the best possible assets, placing them exactly where they have to be, and if necessary, moving them into specific situations for his benefit. Cleaners are meticulous about putting their key people in place. And they'll take a long time to build that ideal team, but when they finally get everyone they need, they stay committed to keeping the team intact. Think about the most successful people you know. They recognize what works, and they stick with it as long as it keeps working. Cleaners rarely make changes just for the sake of change. What happens when you shake things up or stir the pot? You get random, unpredictable results. When someone is constantly changing everyone around him, the problem usually isn't those being replaced. More likely, the problem lies with the guy who can't figure out what he needs and wants. I see a lot of athletes who constantly switch advisors, or agents, or managers, or trainers, or assistants. They'll cave in to family pressure to hire the brother-in-law to do a job he can't handle. Or they decide to save some money and use an old pal to manage the books. Pretty soon, no one's working together. Everyone is bitter and annoyed. And instead of taking pressure off the player so he can focus on the job that keeps everything else afloat, now he's got to manage personnel problems. I look around at the inevitable mess that follows, and I think, this is your business. What are you doing? The whole team has to have one goal so we can all reach the end result together. It can't be about individual priorities. A good team looks at everything. Should we be making this appearance or attending that function? Or do we need to be working out or practicing or getting healthy? The cleaner has to be able to trust that everyone around him has his back and isn't operating under some separate agenda. When you're an A-plus person, you want A-plus people around you, and everyone has to be accountable for doing A-plus work. And part of making the cleaner look good is having the balls to tell him the truth, even when he doesn't want to hear it. When someone says, "I need to be surrounded by positive people," I just laugh. You know what that really means? I want people who will lie to my face and make me feel better. You didn't hire me to tell happy, shiny lies. My job is to set people straight, no matter what the consequence. And if that makes me sound cold or harsh, I'm fine with that. It's made me very good at what I do. A player has so many people giving him advice. What can I say to him that he'll really hear? What's the one thing he never thought of, the thing that makes a difference? How can I make it more powerful than the 100 things he's heard before? Again, the truth is simple. During halftime, I sometimes meet Kobe in the tunnel before he goes out for the second half. I talk, he listens. It takes less than 15 seconds. What I say to him is between us, but you can be sure he knows it's the truth. All I've ever done with these guys is give them a few phrases or an idea that makes them stop in their tracks. That's it. Then let them figure it out. That way, it's their idea. That's my relationship with Dwayne as well. After his simultaneous knee and shoulder surgeries in 2007, I sent him back to Miami ready to play and remained in regular contact with the Heat's training staff to make sure he was staying on track. One day I get a call from them. Can I come down to Miami and talk to Dwayne? Sure. I get there and the staff tells me they want him to do A, B, C, and D. Got it. Let me talk to him. I sit down with Dwayne. I need you to do A, B, and C. Forget D, okay? Okay. I'm there for 8 minutes. Get back on the plane and go home. The next day they call me. Hey, he did A, B, and C. Of course he did. That's trust. I don't need to be the center of things. I just want to do my job and get out of the way. If I'm doing it right, I'm always around, and you'll never see me. The truth is simple. It requires no explanation, analysis, rationale, or excuse. It's just a simple statement that leaves no doubt. You can look at it from every angle, hold it up to the light, flip it over, slice it up, smash it with an axe. It's still the truth. But highly successful people rarely get to hear the truth. They're surrounded by assistants and security and aides and the PhDs who go to tremendous lengths to keep their place in the circle of trust by managing the truth, shoveling polite opinions and puffy compliments, and generally keeping the boss happy. But the boss doesn't always need to be happy. Sometimes he needs an honest smack in the head. You want to be the most valuable guy in the circle? Be the one who looks the cleaner straight in the eye and tells him what everyone else is afraid to say. He might hate it, and hate you for saying it, but a true cleaner knows when he's being bullshitted and when he's being set straight. And guaranteed, the next time he needs to know whom he can trust, he'll be looking for you. But if you expect the truth from me, you'd better give me the truth in return. Before I ask a question, I already know the answer, and I'll keep asking until you give me the truth. You've been drinking a lot? No. Not drinking? No. Because your body looks like you've been drinking? No. How often are you drinking? Don't even answer. I already know. You need a 30-day program. If you don't do it, your career is over. You don't want to do it? Up to you. But you need it. You can't make things better until you stop making things worse. In business, in sports, doesn't matter. This isn't personal. Every year I get coaches and agents and GMs calling me for an opinion, and I appreciate that they value my input. Can he play? No. But did you see what he did at? No. But if we can get him healthy? No. Let me save you a whole lot of money and grief and anxiety. He can't play. When the answer is no, a cleaner says no. He doesn't soften it or wrap it in something pretty. No excuses, and no explanation afterward. Explanations are another way of saying, I wasn't sure, but then I went through this whole long thought process until I came to a decision, and now I'm pretty sure. I hope you understand. And if you do need to explain, do so knowing you're opening the door to further discussion, because when the other guy sees you had some indecision, he's going to try to negotiate. No is a closed door. No negotiation. Someone asks you to do something you don't want to do, and you start explaining, that person is going to ask you again and again and again. Don't explain. Don't make excuses. Truth takes one sentence, simple and direct. A question, an answer. Attaining excellence means finding those answers, not just settling for the convenient, easy route. It means seeking and accepting the truth and adapting as necessary. How many times do you see a player rush back from an injury only to be injured worse? More often than not, the trainer knew what he was doing, and the player either panicked or didn't trust him or listened to bad advice from people who had no idea what they were talking about. Your back feels better? That's great. How about everything connected to your back? You want to take care of that too? Or should we wait until you re-injure it in 2 weeks? Athletes are surrounded by an endless parade of experts on everything. They have coaches, trainers, doctors, agents, advisors, wives, parents, and yes, the dick holders. Everyone has an opinion. By the time a player gets to me, he's lost touch with his precious instincts. And when I tell him what we're going to do to fix his game or mend his body, he's usually hearing things no one else has told him. I have my methods, and I know they work. Let me do this, I tell him. Tough call for a star athlete used to getting his way and doing what he wants. Whether you're an athlete, an entrepreneur, a CEO, a rock star, or you're just starting out in life, know what you know and what you don't know. Most of the time when we ask for advice, we don't want the truth. We want the answer we're seeking. Be open to advice that goes against what you want. Cleaner law. Surround yourself with those who want you to succeed, who recognize what it takes to be successful. People who don't pursue their own dreams probably won't encourage you to pursue yours. They'll tell you every negative thing they tell themselves. Cleaners trust few people. They'd almost always rather follow their instincts and fix the situation later if they're wrong than trust someone else and kick themselves for not listening to that voice inside. If a cleaner screws up, he wants it to be because he did what he thought was right, not because he did what someone else told him to do. On the other hand, when a cleaner trusts you, he'll stay out of your way and let you do your job without critique or interference, especially if you're a cleaner as well, because the only thing he cares about are those final results. He doesn't care how you do it. Just do it. But he has to trust you first. Michael and Phil are both extreme cleaners. Michael trusted Phil to let him do his thing, and Phil trusted Michael to do it. Phil would tell him, look, just start running the triangle, then do whatever you have to do, but at least run so it looks like we're running something. And Michael would run a few plays, then take care of business his own way. And result? It worked. But when it doesn't work, and two cleaners go their separate ways, they both know for sure it's never over. The competitive drive is so strong that they never stop battling for supremacy. Beware of the cleaner you cut loose. He'll be back, and he'll be stronger than he ever was. When a cooler speaks, you have doubts. When a closer speaks, you listen. But when a cleaner speaks, you believe. A cleaner can listen to others and still make his own decisions. collecting information, processing it, deciding. When Michael and I started together, we were both learning and figuring it out. He knew basketball, I knew the human body. I didn't question his authority, and he didn't question mine. But now I'm the teacher. These guys call me for advice on everything. Their kids, their baby mama drama, how should they handle everything you can think of? They trust me. Why? Because I give them a straight answer. Few words have as much impact as trust me. If you say that to someone, you're taking on some serious responsibility, and you'd better be able to deliver. So when they come to me and say, "Yeah, I did this," they know I'm going to help. I might first shake my head and say, "You honestly thought you'd get away with that?" But we're going to find a way to deal with it and minimize the damage. If I say something they don't like, which is pretty often, it's for their benefit. Always for them. If there's a choice between being the asshole who tells them things are about to go bad, or the good buddy who lies to their faces and tells them everything is great, guess what? I'll be the asshole who keeps them from failing. They're used to people showering them with roses, and I'm bringing the thorns. When you're a cleaner, you don't recognize failure. You know there's more than one way to get what you want. A cooler accepts what he can't do and gives up. A closer recognizes what he can't do, but keeps working at it. But a cleaner knows what he can do, and stays with it until he decides to do something else. Well, the night the Chicago Bulls were eliminated from the 1995 NBA playoffs by the Orlando Magic, I sat with Michael in the darkened United Center until 3 a.m. He had just returned to basketball 2 months earlier, following his first retirement and brief baseball career. So much had happened in the last year. Dressed in his suit and tie, he looked around the brand new arena that had replaced the legendary Chicago Stadium earlier that season and said, "I hate this fucking building." "You built this fucking building," I said. During that series, some of the Orlando players said he didn't look like the old number 23, which he didn't. He was wearing number 45. He wasn't ready, and I knew it better than anyone else. His endurance, his shot, there just hadn't been enough time to get him back to the level of excellence that people had grown accustomed to. Predictably, there was plenty of talk about how his baseball career had failed. His basketball comeback had failed. He had failed. Michael Jordan was done, they said. And as usual, they were wrong. A cleaner is done when he says he's done, not when you say he's done. In fact, you saying it usually ensures the opposite. At the end of that game, he had a message for the Magic as all the players shook hands and left the court. He said, "Enjoy this win, because it ain't going to happen again." Then he changed his number back to number 23. And the following season, he led the Bulls to an NBA record 72 wins and the first of three more championship rings to go with the three he'd already won before he failed. Failed? How can you fail when your worst day is better than most people's best? I don't understand the concept of failure. If you don't succeed at everything you do on your first attempt, does that mean you failed? Isn't it a good thing that you keep coming back and working at it until you succeed? How can that be failure? What most people think of as failure, a cleaner sees as an opportunity to manage and control a situation, pulling it around to his advantage, doing something everyone else says is impossible. If there's a 2% chance that something will work, he'll take the 98% risk just to show he took the challenge and did what everyone else said couldn't be done. It may take years and all kinds of work no one else will ever see, but eventually a cleaner is going to own that situation and make it work to his advantage. He has to, It's the only way he knows. This didn't work, so let's do that. If that doesn't work, we can do this. How many ways can you prepare? How many different pathways can you create so you don't eventually run into a ditch?